I played that for a very special reason and a very special person, Morris's daughter. Hello, Morris, how are you?
I'm excellent, thanks, Phil.
Yeah, a bit of Michael Jackson. Basically, for reasons known to you, we're going back to 1996.
Here we are. Look, today for me, I'm being very nostalgic. It's my daughter's 21st birthday today.
Happy birthday to her. Fantastic.
Yeah, no, thank you. I don't look old enough. You're absolutely right.
I was going to move on to that bit. But before we get into the list of things, what were the things that you remember that did or did not happen in 1996? I just started doing radio and I remember they told us about this wonderful invention called the mini disc, and now it's in the trash can.
Yeah, look, it'll never take off. It's not worth it all. The strange thing about 96 or around that time was I did a lot of university lecturing, and I was brought in to the dean of one of the universities I worked at, and for the first time ever I was given some very, very strict instructions to take down my bulletin board.
Bulletin board.
Because the bulletin board was an electronic thing that I was using with my students in 96 to give them the lecture notes from.
Yeah.
And the university had, at that stage, had no email. Well, the email was hardly existent. They had no policy for it, and they thought I was giving away IP, intellectual property. And they insisted that I desist from doing it. So, of course, me being me, I took it down and I put it up the next day under a different name with a different password, and I used it as a bit of a thing with my students.
It's funny, isn't it? Perhaps the myths and the rules, if you like, of what the protocols, ways you could behave, what you couldn't do, that was a totally different ball game too, I guess, from what you've just said.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Could you imagine a university today saying anything like that? It was quite incredible, and that's what we were talking about. In 96, many of us lived through or saw through. It was a very, very, very different time. In 21 years, it's interesting on days like this to look back and think about what the world was like when they were born.
Mm. Well, let's do some facts and figures here. I'll kick off with Celeron processors. They were certainly a thing of the future, and 16 megs of RAM was considered the business.
Oh, look, you were never going to use it. There was absolutely no program around that would ever call for it. We also didn't have, today the word Pentium inside of the computer is a really big thing, and we know that it runs most of our computers. It was the first version of it. Also in 96, fascinating looking back again from today, is Apple, the big giant that we all think about. It was almost done and dusted. They were really close to bankruptcy in 1996. They'd just gone through that, that PC, personal computer market, and kind of lost their jobs, was out of it already, and they didn't know what they were going to do for the rest of their existence.
Incredible, isn't it? And also, it takes us back to what we talked about last week. I'm reading here that digital camera was digital, but it was not affordable. This is the discrepancy in prices we talked about last week.
Oh, look, a digital camera, and you're talking about a really bad, bad resolution compared to today, would have cost you upwards of $10,000.
Yeah.
It was quite extraordinary. And remember that there wasn't the memory for you to store many photos on either. So it wasn't like today's camera or today's phone where we store thousands of photos without thinking. Also in 96, fascinating for me because we all carry around these mobile devices and don't think twice about it, was the Palm Pilot.
Mm.
Now, the Palm Pilot was not a phone, but it was an electronic directory that you carried around, and I certainly had one. It had all of your calendars and all of your bits and pieces. Was everything but a phone, and in those days that was really big technology.
Yeah, it was like a sort of switch on, what was it called, Filofax, basically, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, small enough to fit in your pocket, not like today's that we were talking about fit in your pocket, but for those days, considered to be a fit in your pocket kind of device. The one I had eventually had like a flip on it, and it had a screen on the top when you opened it, and the keyboard was the one that was the bottom half of it. And also in those days, we were using monochrome monitors. So on the screen, you were using the old green, or if you were really upmarket, you saw orange characters.
Yeah.
It was none of today's screens where you're watching videos and seeing multicolour.
That was the norm, wasn't it? And actually, you talk about Apple not doing very well. I seem to remember perhaps 97. That little screen computer they had, it was very famous. You know, the one, it's like all in one, and that was monochrome for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was something of its day again, but they lost their way after them. I mean, after those types of innovations, they really had difficulty coming with others. Most people in 96, and certainly for a long time afterwards, was very, very much PC, IBM PC, or not IBM, but something similar to it. And for most of us, we were using good old Windows 95.
Yeah, I remember that.
I mean, Windows 95 was part of the reason that we had that big Y2K scare. Remember back at the year 2000, switching over, we all thought our computers were going to stop, planes would fall out of the sky, and that was because there was a bug in the computer software that didn't allow the date to move over to the year 2000, yeah. And therefore the computers would stop working. All of that was still buried in 95.
You can kind of, if we're staying with technology, you can kind of gauge these things by the games people were playing. And the Nintendo 64 was born in that year, and it became popular, and also Pokemon was officially released.
Yeah, and the Pokemon craze was incredible around that time. Kids of that day, and mine was still too young, but kids of that day were really on top of it. Very, very unusual game for its day. You know, we were also still looking at VHS. Yeah. Watching our VHS, and we weren't coming to Hong Kong for pirated ones, of course, but, you know, whatever we could do to find them. And Nokia was still very big in this day. In fact, in the year 96, it was the Nokia 8110 that was the popular model for that.
Do you know much, Maurice, about the history of texting, SMS? Because I'm reading here that 99% of phones had the letters and the capability, but nobody used them.
Well, they didn't use it because think back to your old Nokia phone. It was very, very cumbersome to use. It was the keyboard inside of the numbers, you know, with the three letters on top. There also wasn't a great need for it. We just weren't an SMS society. We were a society at that stage that was still using the corded phone, or perhaps the cordless phone at home. But very, very, very few people had a mobile phone in those days. So SMS was something that very few people used. In fact, I usually say that you know you're a complete nerd or geek because you were using SMS, and you're also playing snakes on the phone.
Do you happen to know
something only nerds and geeks would do?
Do you happen to know what was the story behind SMS? I mean, obviously it was something that somebody designed knowing it would have a use later on.
No, I don't know where it started from. Well, we're having a look at it. I'll come back to it next week because I'd be interested in knowing it too.
Yeah, and if you want a real benchmark about 1996, Hotmail was released that year, and it was really the benchmark thing, Hotmail, wasn't it?
Oh, incredible. Remembering that we're still talking in a day where most people did not use email. It was kind of like precursor to social media in the way of people saying, I'm never going to use it, has no sense, don't need it, why are they bothering?
Yeah.
So what we saw with Hotmail was one of the very, very first global services that made it easy to use email. All you really had to know was the address you were sending it to, and then you could just type away. Before then, it was a little bit more difficult, a little bit more cumbersome. You had to dial into your service provider. You had to open up your specialist email software. There was all sorts of codes you had to put in. So this was the first attempt at a really global service that made it easy.
Yeah.
And interesting for that year, Google was first registered in 1996. It wasn't big. It was really only just a small garage company, but was registered in 96.
Is that a really cool business practice that these guys were good at? They knew that somewhere down the line there would be the technology, but they also knew if they didn't register it now, they'd lose out.
Yeah, I mean, Google was pretty much the boys getting together over some beers and figuring out that there had to be a better way to search. They were frustrated with the way that we were looking at the internet. Remembering that the internet was not huge, but it was definitely bigger than before. I know that sounds like tautology. And what was obvious was that we were going to get more and more and more information. And we had Netscape and a whole lot of other search engines, but they just weren't very good at ranking. The old search engines would bring up information. So in other words, if you asked it to find the nearest cafe, it would do it, but it wouldn't necessarily do it in an effective manner. So you might end up with cafes in Hong Kong and Melbourne and Russia and all sorts of other places. And what Google did was to say, look, we have to find a way to make search more relevant, make it easier, and make it more about what you might be looking for, and somehow rank the information so you know it's important or not. They were still bubbling away in their head at that time. They were trying to figure out how they would do it, what the secret sauce would be.
It was there's something that people, you know, you go and buy a laptop now, and it's a walk in the park. It takes the bloke 10 minutes to set up your Windows and change your language and stuff. You take it home, and you're really on. You remember when you would have? I mean, Windows CE was also released that year, but perhaps a couple of years later, when the century changed, you'd get a new computer. You wanted to go to 2000 or whatever, and then you'd have to get a mate to come and install it so that It was PPOE connection or PPOA connection for your modem, and it was a blinking nightmare. Now it's just go, isn't it?
In the 90s, one of the biggest professions, I mean, we were talking about jobs that were going to be safe in the 90s. We were talking about computer technicians. And one of the best jobs you could have, or one of the best businesses you could have, was the one you just described. It was the PC doctor, the person that could come and that could tame all this terrible technology, because it came in separate boxes, as you described really well. It came with all kinds of stuff that just needed. None of it really talked to each other easily. Mm. We take it so for granted now. I mean, I had a guy for 20-odd years who's now a mate of mine called Dennis, and I started with him in the mid-80s. And he would come regularly to do all kinds of tune-ups and fixes. There were all kinds of things that went wrong with PCs. But thankfully today we take for granted, and it just usually doesn't occur.
There's another thing that I didn't know. Amazon was launched in 1995, 1 year previously. According to our notes, it started to catch attention in 96. But once again, it's one of those time-released thing where the concept comes first and then the actuality comes a little bit later.
I mean, what would Amazon possibly do in 95 was the thinking. Who was going to buy products online? I mean, this just didn't make sense at all. Firstly, you had to give your information online. You were never going to do that. No way was I ever going to give my banking details or pay for it online. That was never going to happen. And what would I buy anyway without touching, seeing or feeling? Again, I'm being facetious, of course, but it was the way of 95. You know, even up to the late 90s and early part of this century, most people felt, and today you and I don't even need to describe Amazon. Everybody knows what it is. How big it is.
Mm. These guys were pretty clever, though, weren't they? You talk about business futurism. They've displayed a real skill when it came to sort of technology speculation and futurism. They were just patient.
Well, they were patient. They were tenacious. You'll find if you go back in history that there are other people around that also had similar thoughts, similar ideas. These people, Amazon and Google and others, were tenacious. They felt that they were right, and they were in the marketplace at the right time. I've been involved in lots of products over my time, lots of product services and business startups that were great ideas, didn't find their time, or ideas that I didn't think were that good that for some reason found their time in the marketplace that they were good. So it's really a matter for me always of tenacity.
Mm. Well, I want to finish off on a personal note. What's your daughter's name?
Rebecca.
Rebecca, happy birthday, 21 years old. What kind of stuff does she say to you? You must have had these conversations with her. Does she go, "Oh, Dad"?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Normally what she says to me is, "Where's the credit card?" Well, my kids, because of the way they grew up, you say quite right, have always been used to technology. They literally held a mouse in their hand as soon as they could hold a grip on it. So for them, technology, using all these kinds of stuff, has always been a norm. It's the world that I thought was important for them, and hopefully they learned a whole lot of other social skills. They're definitely not nerds and geeks. And thankfully, I mean, very thankfully, they're great social animals. You know, they love to go out. So you can be the son or a daughter of a geek and still have a good life.
Well, nice one. Good on you. Happy birthday to Rebecca. And thanks very much to Benjamin Button, a.k.a. Maurice Misolowski. We'll do it all next week. See you later.